4, my lucky fucking number. Let's go, baby. Guys, welcome back or welcome to the Jappy Jaws podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the jappiest of some, if not of them all, Lindsay Moraskin, with another episode of the Jappy Jaws podcast. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to make sure you guys are staying as up to date as possible on all things Jappy Jaws. So first things first, let's go over to Instagram real quick. Type in the search bar and make sure you are following the Jappy Jaws page at JAPPYJAWS, and as well as my personal at Lindsay Anya, LINDSAYYANYAA. Those are the two main social media platforms that is going to keep you up to date with everything and anything Jappy Jaws, polls, guests, when episodes are launching, if an episode is a little delayed, which really hasn't happened in quite some time, so pat on the back to Lindsay for that. Those are the best places that you can find any and everything Jappy Jaws related. Now, you're listening to Jappy Jaws. Are you subscribed? Are you following? Have no fear. I am going to tell you how to do that. So, wherever you're listening from, whether that is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, Anchor, make sure you are hitting the following button and the subscribe button, as well as the little notification bell, because the notification bell will notify you every single fucking time I upload a brand new episode. And then while you're there, you might as well leave a comment, a review, a rate. Let me know what you're thinking. And I'm so excited for you guys to hear today's episode. My interview with Lauren literally was probably one of my favorite interviews of all time. But before we get into that, I want to catch up a little bit, see how everyone's doing, give you some updates, talk a little, you know, shit. But before we do that, you know, I've been trying to implement this new little fun drinking game. So everyone, if you are over the age of 21, grab a cocktail, grab the handle that you have at the bar. If you're under 21, grab a Capri Sun or a High C. Those were the shit. They're still probably the shit. I just haven't had one in so long. If you're driving at the gym or you're just chilling, water, pre-workout, coffee, whatever gets you going. But whenever you hear we mention school or sororities, I want you to take a sip or three. Maybe three, because that one will definitely get you going more so. All right. That being said, make sure you guys have those handy dandy drinks next to you and enjoy this week's episode. All right. Now, I got to start off with this because this was major and it happened literally less than 24 hours ago. Everyone, my worlds collided. It was something that you see in the movies. It was so exhilarating and exciting. I just can't even express it even more than that. And it sounds a little dramatic. That was my senior superlative. Gotta stick with it. However, last night I was on FaceTime with one friend that you all know. And then we were talking about something and I needed some extra advice and hands-on activity. So I called another friend that you guys know and they had never talked before ever. And it was like my worlds were really colliding in such a great and positive way. It really brought so much joy to my life. Now you're probably thinking, who were those two people? Well, it was none other than Victoria Bruno from the Moral Hangover podcast and Maria DeSantis, aka Bachelorette Maria. First of all, we all went to Temple. Maria and I are the same age. Victoria graduated the year before us. So yes, we weren't there all at the same time, whatever. You'd think because we went to the same school, we all were in Greek life, that we would somehow all have crossed paths before. Then again, I think Temple is so fucking huge that sometimes that just seems nearly impossible. But last night, we were discussing something that I cannot go into detail yet because I want it to be a surprise and I needed both of their helps. And I feel like you guys can understand this is me giving you a huge hint about what we were talking about. And it was the first time they ever met. So we all had a nice little FaceTime party and I was like, I have to mention this on the podcast because otherwise I feel like I'd be doing a disservice to you all because you all know how much I love and care about them and their opinions mean everything and more to me. So I just thought that was cute and fun and a nice way to open up today's episode. Other than that, I also have another announcement, okay? And no one make fun of me and no one judge me and no one be like, oh, what the fuck? Guys, I'm in a relationship. Yes, you heard that right. I am dating. But I'm not dating like anyone exciting. Actually, no, I take that back. I am. I'm dating myself, okay? Now, I just want to get this out there. And I know my friends are going to be like, Lindsay, what the fuck? You were just like hysterical the other day, all upset. I have come to the realization that I need to date myself before I want to date anyone else. I need to love and learn to be single Pringle dating myself. You know, guys just haven't been hitting it recently. As much as we love them is as much as we hate them. And I feel like what a lot of people don't understand sometimes is that you need to date yourself before you're ready to date anyone else and before you're getting involved with anyone else. Whatever that may be, whatever situation you put yourself in, you need to make sure you and yourself are good together first. So Hot Girl Summer is quickly approaching and I am vowing to myself now that I am going to be single and have that fucking Hot Girl Summer because I deserve it. Because we are so freaking young and we are so freaking old at the same time to be wasting time on stupid shit and worrying about what's going to happen next. So guess what? Single Pringle Lindsay, I am on the hunt for fun, not for love. For fun. If love comes, whatever, I don't fucking care. I don't want to do anything but have fun. I just want to experience life. I want to enjoy the time that I could have missed out on because of the stupid pandemic. So right now, even though you might have your days where you're going to be sad and lonely, and if I could give any more advice, is that dating yourself before anyone else is going to be so much more beneficial for you, regardless of any situation that you're in. If you find yourself going back and forth with someone, if you find that you haven't really found the right person yet, or you're trying to get over someone, or you're trying to rush into something, whatever it may be, make sure you're good with yourself. And I keep trying to drill this into my head. And obviously everybody has good and bad days, but at the end of the day, you can't force any shit anymore. You just gotta let shit go, let it be. It will bring you so much more peace. And I promise you, even though it might not seem like that today or tomorrow, it will 100% later on. But also in regards to dating, I do want to mention, I know I briefly said it on the episode with the Moral Hangover podcast, but I did match with Two-Turnt Tony on Hinge once. And, you know, the duck talk was a little too much, but all of a sudden he's hanging out with fucking Harry Jousy and Bryce Hall. So now I'm kind of wondering, did I fuck something up? But who knows? He also could have been my in with Griffin. I'm having a lot of regrets and a lot of like flashback moments, but you know what? Shit happens. You live and you learn. Anywho, that being said, hot girl summer bitches, if you don't have someone right now, date yourself, all right? And even if you are with someone, still date yourself. Take yourself on your alone time, date time, you know? Do what you gotta do behind closed doors or even in public. All you, baby. I know, that was a little deep, whatever. I didn't expect to get there, but I just found like that rampage light fire ignited inside me and I just needed to let it out. But another thing I wanted to give you an update on was my sweets update. So this past weekend, one of my good friends and I actually had like a nice date night together, and we decided that we were gonna make dinner and we were gonna watch the Britney Spears documentary. And I'll go into that a little after this. And we made dinner great, and I was like, I really want dessert. And she was trying to be a little bit of an instigator. She's like, we can treat ourselves. I was like, no, I'm not eating any sweets till Lent, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm trying to find like different ways to go about trying a, what's it called? New type of dessert without like the sugary aspect. So I'm texting Vic. I'm texting a bunch of other people. I'm like, would zucchini bread count as a dessert? And they're like, no, it's fine, whatever. And I'm like, it's made of a vegetable. It is not a dessert. So we make it, and obviously it calls for sugar. My friend and I may or may not have had some miscommunication when it came to where the sugar was going because we were in charge of different ingredients. When the bread was done, I tasted it. And I was like, it kind of tastes like a little like savory dry. And then I go to her, I go, how much sugar did you put in? She goes, I thought you put in the sugar. So essentially, I did make it without the sugar and I put like honey on top or whatever. So I did stick with my sweets thing. It was a sign that I'm doing a good job and that it wasn't meant to be, but I was still able to enjoy it. So I thought that was a funny update for you all. While eating said bread, all right, we watched the Britney Spears documentary. Now, for those of you that live under a rock and haven't done it yourselves, I highly suggest going to watch it. It's on Hulu, and you can't search Britney Spears about it because it's a part of a New York Times special series thing that they have. So you have to search New York Times. I believe it's episode 6. Don't quote me on it. To give you a brief rundown without giving too much away, but to make you guys interested in wanting to watch it, because I think it is something very interesting and important and also a huge part of our pop culture lives, because believe it or not, and whether you want to have it be part of your life, we love this shit. We indulge in all of that type of stuff. So looking at this in this sort of perspective, instead of just the glamorous and quote unquote what people call her crazy lifestyle, this is just quite the eye opener, and I really recommend it. But basically, it goes into detail from when Britney was very, very young and how she basically got discovered and started this whole career, starting with the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse whole ordeal, her child acting, her singing, to when Hit Me Baby One More Time became such a big hit, to her getting married, her dating Justin Timberlake, her having kids. And honestly, without giving everything away, because I really don't want to be a spoiler, it just goes to show how much the media really does affect a person. It doesn't matter if you are someone like Britney Spears with such fame like that, or someone that maybe is like a TikToker that has maybe 2 million on TikTok, but doesn't have that same quote unquote starlight as someone would like Britney Spears, how the media really affects them. And then also how sometimes fame and fortune and lights, camera, actions, Hollywood, whatever you want to fucking call it, will not only get to one person, but it will get to those around them. And then it will kind of take control of everything that they do and everything in their relationships, because that's exactly what happened with her and her father. Her father was, I don't want to say absentee, but he was kind of like really in and out sometimes when she was growing up. It was hard for him to kind of stay sober and be relevant in her life. And I hate saying it like that, but he has just crossed a line, because it's at a point where he's in charge of everything that she says, does, and owns. She is fully capable of doing that on her own. And yes, she has a past, but I think a lot of it comes from A, postpartum depression, and B, from the media and from her dad. And I think that people love to take and twist and turn, and it doesn't help in her situation in court that it's shown all over the freaking planet that she's going through all this shit. And I thought it was really interesting. I don't want to give any more away, but it just was such an eye-opener, and I have such more of a respect and empathy towards Britney and hashtag free Britney, honestly. I think it's something worth the watch. It gets you to a place where the meaning of you can't judge a book by its cover, or like not everything you read is true, because it literally puts so much into fruition, and I can't even begin to explain how emotional it kind of made me feel. And this doesn't even directly affect me. I loved Britney Spears as a kid. I'm not a huge fan, but I can understand how people that love and appreciate Britney in such a different light because they really credit her to a lot of what they've been through and what they are now. I don't want to give any more away. I really encourage you all to go sit and watch it. Truly an 11 out of 10 on Hulu. Let me know when you do, and I want to know your thoughts. Another big thing that happened this past week as well was the Oprah, Harry, and Meghan interview, which I think everyone has been buzzing and talking about. And I don't want to get too deep into it because I think that there's so much going on in the media surrounding it. And I feel like that they're at a point where they just want their peace. They just want to feel happy. They want things to go back in order and place. It's important to share the story that they went through. And it was extremely, extremely upsetting and disturbing, some of the things that came out about the royal family, and that we idolize them in such a way that is kind of disturbing, honestly. Like, we think that it's like a Princess of Genovia type situation. Like, no, she's not Anne Hathaway. Neither is Kate Middleton. That is not how it goes. We really don't know exactly. And obviously, for those that live in the US, that is not our royal family. That is just what we see. It's an act for the world. And I just give so much credit and so much love and strength and everything in between to Meghan Markle. I think she held herself with such grace and poise, and not many people can do so. And I give her literally all the credit in the world for dealing with the way she was feeling in a proper manner, where some other people wouldn't have made it out alive. I think Oprah did a beautiful job as well, and I would hope that maybe Oprah would do something similar with Britney. I know it's two very different mediums, but I think that her doing this gave so much more insight on what really goes on behind closed doors, not only in celebrities' lives, but with people of power. And clearly they have full range of motion on the UK and the family of the institution, whatever the fuck you want to call it. If you guys didn't see that as well, I highly recommend that too. It was such a big week for me with TV. I haven't watched this much shit and I cannot tell you how long, but I'm honestly kind of here for it, and I'm happy to be watching it because I feel like it's an education lesson at the same time, but I also appreciate knowing different sides. And I feel like we now live in a day and age where we're seeing more than what we were ever shown before, which I think is a beautiful thing and a great way to change the culture of how we look at TV and film. Wow, I kind of sound a little sophisticated. I don't know what to do with myself. I can't handle this shit. But without further ado, though, what week would it be without a Bachelor recap? And almost the last of it, honestly. So I was really underwhelmed, I'm not gonna lie, by the fantasy suites and the episode. I think the best part of the episode, but I also thought was the most vulnerable and very intimate moment, was the conversation between Matt and his dad. And I think this is the most we've gotten out of Matt the entire season about his journey, about where he's from, aside from being the Bachelor and holding up this image that he has. Bachelor Nation is literally all over the place right now, and I think it's very interesting to watch how they're handling it and what's going to happen from this point forward. But I think that it was an important conversation to have, and I'm glad Matt got to have it. I know myself and several other people thought as if this was something that it was clearly done the first time. This conversation never had happened before. And it seems as if this battle or this bridge to burn between Matt and his father needed to be in private. And I give credit to Matt for allowing this to happen. I don't know who really put this in place and who kind of made this happen, because I don't think it was him, as shitty as that is to say. But credit to them, because I think it shows a lot for other families that are going through something similar or have been through similar. And I think it's a nice stepping point, but I do think it was something that should have been done in private. Fantasy suites, we obviously know how that goes down. They're fucking each other. There's no doubt in my mind that he did not sleep with all three of them. And you could tell their chemistry by the way that they were on their dates and everything, especially with his date with Michelle. They were really rubbing and touching each other. I think that he was extremely, extremely attracted to Bree, so obviously he took what he could and ran with it, which I hate saying like that, but it's the fucking truth. I think Rachel throwing a hissy fit about that, I understand, whatever, you don't want to see your man hooking up with other girls, but he's also dating deleting them as well. I think all of it was just such bullshit, and I want justice for Brie because I think she deserved better. I'm curious to know what's going to happen after the final rose. I'm hearing rumors that Matt's actually dating Heather now and that things didn't work out with whoever he ends up with. I honestly don't know. There's so much spewing about what's happening, and I know that we're getting announced who the next Bachelorette is on Monday's episode with After the Final Rose, which I think is going to be an interesting one. To be honest with you, I'm just waiting for this to end at this point. From a scale from 1 to 10, I would rate this season maybe a 5.77 because I was very underwhelmed by it. I think the editing was actually horrible and very poorly done, and I think that's the reason why it was so unenjoyable for me and so many other people, because they were just showing us such shitty moments. We didn't get the greatest times with the greatest people. We saw way too much drama, and I'm not here for it. So I'm really hoping that this new era of the Bachelor, Bachelorette franchise really gets the revamp it needs, and I think that it is important that they really reevaluate everything that's going on. I wonder if Paradise is going to get announced as well, but it has to be filming sooner because that's summertime. So stay tuned. I feel like I'll have more of an update next week. Oh, wait. Also, if anybody would ever want to take me on the date that Michelle and Matt went on with the butter and the oatmeal, I'd be so down. It looked like a lot of fun and I would really enjoy it. Bachelorette Maria did not like that. She was not a fan. I appreciate that we were able to watch this and have our difference of opinions and kind of give each other a different perspective as well. I'm excited for next week. I'm curious to see how it all pans out, but I think it's a whole time will tell type situation with the Bachelor and where it will go from this point forward. And if that would include Chris Harrison or not. Also really excited to see how Emmanuel Acho does with hosting the After the Final Rose ceremony, and maybe if this would lead to another gig within the franchise. I think he's going to do a great job, and I think he's going to touch upon things that have never been touched upon before within the franchise and in a proper way. So stay tuned with that, but I am more than excited to have our next guest with us. So I had the ultimate pleasure of interviewing Lauren Tybee from TikTok. For those of you that don't know her, she is the rising It Girl star on TikTok. She has over 200,000 followers there, over 13,000 on Instagram, and she truly is one of a kind. Her page is somewhere to go for anything you want and more. But aside from our actual interview, we literally were talking for probably 2 hours. And you know when you're having a conversation with someone and it's so effortless and you become so comfortable and it just becomes something that was so natural as if you've known the person forever? That's how I felt talking to Lauren. She is so relatable. She's so funny. And we literally became like long lost best friends. We're literally in the midst of making plans to hopefully meet up soon and get a drink and fucking rage. I really think that you guys are really going to enjoy our interview. She doesn't just go into detail about her TikTok and going into how she became this content creator she is, but also balancing that with school, being vice president of her sorority, getting ready for recruitment, and a lot of things that people don't necessarily prepare you for 100% when you go into college. But I hope you guys enjoy my interview with Lauren and take lots of notes with what you could do or what you could prepare yourself better to do in these situations. I'm not going to keep going. So here is the one, the only, the it girl of TikTok, Miss Lauren Tybee. You guys may know this girl because she may be the queen of TikTok when it comes to trends, when it comes to fashion, when it comes to boy advice. You name it, she is literally giving you the best advice and the best tips for it. I am here with the lovely Lauren Tybee. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So I just saw on your Instagram story before we started recording that today was a monumental day because you hit 200K on TikTok.
Yes, I know. It's insane.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
When did it start kind of getting a little bit bigger for you? Like, when was the moment that you're like, oh shit, like I'm blowing up?
I don't even really know. Like, I feel like it happened overnight, honestly. Like, I would say like around Christmas time, like this past Christmas was when it really, like, I was like, oh my God, this is insane. Because I posted a video about like what I used to wear, watch me turn into like a trendy bitch or something. And it blew up. Like, I already had a lot of followers, but it got me like 50,000 followers overnight.
What?
And then I had like agencies reaching out to me and all that stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
So it literally was like luck of the draw. Literally going to bed one night, woke up like, oh shit, I'm the TikToker.
Well, I wouldn't say like that. Okay. Exactly. But I honestly always wanted to do social media like growing up. And I feel like my friends from home, they're not really like into that. They don't understand all that.
Really?
And then over quarantine, I was like, okay, I want to do TikTok. Like, I had one video blow up and I was like, I really want to do this, but I didn't know how to go about it. So I would say like, I really just like worked so hard to like get where I was now. And then it really takes one video to just like get your name out there.
Well, congratulations on 200K. That is absolutely amazing. And I can't wait for it to go to even like 200 million, who knows. But before we kind of like get started, I want you to tell everybody a little bit about you, where you're from, what you do, what school you go to, and what you're studying.
Okay, so my name is Lawrence Hybe. I am a junior in college. I go to Monmouth University. I'm currently studying communications with a concentration in public relations and journalism, minor in marketing, kind of a mouthful, but I'm not really sure what I want to do with it. I want to do fashion, but I felt like pressured into going to a normal school. And everyone was like, fashion isn't realistic. You're not going to make it. It's so cutthroat, all that stuff. But I was like, I'm going to prove you guys wrong. But I figured like a communications degree is like perfect for me. I love it. So that's what I do right now. I'm from upstate New York, Syracuse area. Not really my vibe anymore. I want to be near the city, but home is home. Like, obviously I love my family, my friends from there, but I would love to like end up in New York City.
That is literally my dream as well. Well, I don't want to be in fashion. I want to do this. Everybody's goal at some point or another is to live in New York City, like point blank period. Whenever someone tells me like, ew, I don't want to go to the city, I'm like, there's something wrong with you.
No, me, I'm the same way.
Not even just for the fact that it's like the hustle and bustle and fun and everything like that, but it's literally something where you are seeing and doing something different every single time you're there.
It's amazing. And I feel like there's just always something to do. I'm never bored.
Yes.
I love the city.
So if you had to ideally put out your dream job, like write it down, aside from doing TikTok and social media and doing that, would you want to be a fashion designer? Would you want to be like a merchandiser? Like, what is your niche, I guess, or what are you trying to find?
I think I love Sex and the City, and like I love Carrie Bradshaw. Yes. I would love to do, because I really do enjoy writing in English, I would love to do editorials or like a fashion journalist, something like that. When I was younger, like if you asked me when I was 5 years old, I was like, oh my god, I have to be a fashion designer.
Aww.
That was me forever. But then I kind of realized I like styling, but I don't really like designing.
Okay, that's fair enough. I feel like you can do better when there's something to work off of rather than like, yes. I mean, you can be like original on your own, but that's a lot more added pressure. I feel like style, you're like, ooh, she's the cool girl. Like, I want to dress like her.
Or like, I would love to be like a stylist for people.
You could style Kim Kardashian.
Yes, like that would be unreal.
Because that's how she started. She was styling Paris Hilton.
Yeah, that would be like, I would die if I could style a celebrity for the red carpet. That I think is like end goal.
So when I'm on the red carpet, I'm going to call you and yes. ask you to style me. No, I'm not kidding. Because believe it or not, as Jappy Jaws is what it is now, it's going to be bigger and better in a year. Trust me. So obviously, like I said before, you have become a lifestyle guru all over TikTok. Doesn't matter what it is, whatever you post, whether it's something about yourself, about guys, about friends, about fashion, you literally know it all, or it comes off as that you have a great idea of how it happened. Because you kind of talked about how you wanted to kind of make TikTok your thing. How did you figure out what you wanted to post and what your content would be like?
I don't think I ever really figured it out. I don't know if I still did. I actually had someone who was like an agent tell me that I'm not going to be successful unless I pick a niche. So for a little bit, he was like, you have to do fashion. That's what you have to do. And I was like, okay. So I did that for like a month. Even if you looked on my feed, you'll probably see that time. But then I was like, I don't want to do that. I was like, I want to do everything. I don't know. I guess I kind of pick up on trends like from my For You page. I have like a running list in my notes on my phone of like ideas. It's always 3 a.m. I'm like, oh my God, I have to make this video tomorrow. And I feel like that's really just how I go.
I think that's like everybody that I've talked to. The biggest thing that they tell me is that they are constantly making notes in their phones of what they want to do. Like, film this tomorrow, film this then.
Yes.
Like, talk about this. Like, it literally is all based on your phone.
Always. I feel like a lot, like I would say like my boy advice and that stuff, a lot of my friends come to me. So I feel like I'll relate. Like a lot of times when I'm talking about things, it's something that probably happened with one of my friends. And I'm just like, everyone needs to hear this advice because it's too good for just one person. So I'll put it out there and make it a little bit more like generalized.
Oh, I love that. You posted one, I think it was last night, I think I commented on it, and you wrote something in the comments about what your mom said about like something with thirst.
No, yes. Okay, that video is like blowing up right now. It wasn't me that commented that. I would love to take credit for that, but someone commented that and I was like, I need to live by this. The girl said, my mom always told me that like if he doesn't treat you like he would treat his last drop of water, like he's not it, or something like that.
No, I think I screenshot it. I was like, okay, like I need to drill that into my brain as well, because you know, sometimes it just doesn't click as much as I would think it does up there, you know. But no, I love that you really dabble in it all, because I think sometimes, and I think this kind of goes against what that guy was telling you,
mm-hmm.
is that even though you find like what you're good at or what blows up per se for your own content, being able to like dabble in something else and kind of experiment with what you like or what other people are gonna like is so beyond helpful, not only just for your content, but for yourself as a person.
No, yeah, definitely.
Obviously, like, I love your fashion sense. I've used LTX code on Princess Polly a bunch of different times.
Oh my god, thank you.
That is like the dream collaboration. But have you always been a fashionista?
Yes, literally always. Like I said before, when I was younger, when they would ask you in like first grade, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would always say fashion designer. And then I remember like when I was going into high school, I remember I watched like a Zendaya movie like the summer before going into high school. And I was like, oh my God, she dresses so cool. And my goal was always to get best dressed my senior year. I was like, this is it. Like, this is me starting this. And I had posted a video about it. But the stuff I would wear to high school was like a little outrageous. Heels, blazers.
You're like, kidding. You were Blair Waldorf.
Yeah, literally always dress up. And my friends always made fun of me. But I was like, I don't care. I look amazing. And you don't. You're wearing sweatpants.
Oh my God. So, because your style definitely has changed over the years, because with time, like, trends kind of come and go. Do you ever look back and you're like, damn, like, I wish I kind of kept that going because that would be cool or trendy now, or things that you're just like, I'm so glad that that is out?
Yeah, I think my blazer phase, I'm really glad that's out. I was like obsessed with like business casual. I always dressed older. Like sometimes in high school, people thought I was the teacher walking in hallways.
Oh my God.
So I'm kind of glad I grew out of that phase. But I think now my style is more like trendy and like on top of the like current trends, I would say.
Oh, I love that. Do you think that there are a lot of good influential people like yourself that do a lot of fashion stuff on TikTok that you also follow that you get your inspiration from?
Yes, there's this one girl, I don't know her name, but she's always posting like the best stuff. She always has like the audio with like the little like cat. I don't know if you've ever seen her. She's always posting amazing stuff, but I don't really follow a lot of people on TikTok. I literally follow like 20 something people. I don't watch the people that I follow. That makes sense.
No, you are more of a for you page than a following
page. Yeah.
No, I'm like that too. Like, I'll go to my following page and I'll just be like, oh, okay, like, whatever. But it ends up being on my For You page to begin with. So I'm just like, what's the point?
Yeah, no, same.
When you find all these trends, like, what is your best advice for kind of staying with it? Because as easy as they come is as easy as they go. So what is your best advice for someone that kind of is trying to find their style or trying to stay on trend?
I would say find someone, like, for example, I would say Hailey Bieber. I look up to her so much, like, mm-hmm. her style. She never goes out of style. So
I look like her.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Like the blonde, like the petite face.
Thank you. I would say find someone that you're like obsessed with their style and like get their staple pieces, and then you can always conform outfits. I guess that's kind of my advice, because I feel like if you get like a black leather jacket, that's never going to go out of style. A good pair of jeans, and then kind of like see how that person styles it and buy like the other small pieces.
Gotcha. I was going to ask you, because you've posted this, I think like one or two times, staple pieces that you need to have in your closet. Mm-hmm. If you were deserted on an island and you needed to pick three of those staple pieces and everybody else had to pick them, what would those three pieces be?
Oversized black leather jacket, 100%. Okay. I think I would pick some low-rise blue jeans, or like mid-rise, mm-hmm. and a white Zara tank top.
I'm shocked that you said low-rise.
Yeah, I love it now.
Do you? What made you love low-rise?
I just saw it on TikTok and I was like, oh, people are wearing low-rise now. And actually, one of my roommates in the fall, she was wearing low-rise and I was like, no, like never. I'm never gonna do that. High-rise, like only. And then I got a pair. It was actually from Princess Polly. I had a mid-rise pair from them. And I was like, oh, I kind of look snatched. Like, I was like, not gonna lie, like, I kind of like this. And then now all the jeans I buy, I've been buying low rise.
Ooh, interesting. I've always been like, no, I'm not trying it again. I did it in elementary school, middle school. Like, I'm someone that is just like very set in their ways when it comes to like those type of specific things. Like, I'll try anything once. I think maybe I just need to bite the bullet.
No, you have to just try. If you find a good pair, you're like, okay. And I think they're coming back. And I think like, for low rise with like Sienna May, everyone, I feel so much more comfortable with my body now than I did a year ago. So I feel like people are more accepting. So I'm like, oh, like I do. I look amazing. Like I can wear whatever I want.
Yes. I think Sienna is such a good person, regardless of all the backlash that she got from her whole clothing brand and whatever. Like she is someone that just owns it and is like, if I can own it and if I feel this pretty and this great in it, you can too, which I love. And I feel like you kind of send out that message too.
People have asked me before, like, where I get my confidence from. I don't really know. I feel like I've always just been like so crazy.
What's your astrological sign?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yes, crazy because my sister's the opposite. She's super like shy, like in her shell. Like she's always like, how do I be as confident as you? But I don't know. I've always been like, this is me. Like, I'm here. Hello. How is everyone?
It is literally me. So you said a little bit beforehand that you would love to be a stylist. You would love to style some celebrities. With your specific style, which of those celebrities or maybe even stylists do you think you look up the most to?
Definitely like Hailey Bieber. I'm obsessed. I'll always be obsessed with like Shay Mitchell, Vanessa Hutchins. Like, I feel like those are my OGs. Like, then I would love to style. But then also like Kim Kardashian would be like a dream. Because then like your name would be out there and she's so iconic. So I feel like my first choice would be Hailey Bieber. That would be like unreal for me.
And then who do you think, this is going to sound harsh, do you think that there are any celebrities that kind of need a little bit more of a reality check when it comes to their closet, or they have the idea kind of right, but they just don't execute it well when it comes to their fashion sense?
Camila Cabello, she needs work. I hate to say that, but like I've seen those streetwear pictures. Yeah, I would definitely like love to help her.
You should, honestly, because I'll see pictures of her and Shawn Mendes.
Yes.
And I'm just like, you guys are almost matching with what you're wearing, because I get you want to be comfortable and cozy, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel like you still have to kind of put yourself together.
Definitely.
With creating content and being in school and keeping up with all these trends, what is your biggest advice or something that's helped you balance it all?
I think a planner. I write down everything. I've been kind of not good with balancing my time this year because it's been a lot with like creating content, and then now like I'm the vice president of my sorority, so I've taken a lot more work than I have in the past. But I would just say like writing down everything, and like now I have certain days that I do my homework assignments. So like Monday, Thursday, I'm like, okay, those days are absolutely dedicated to school. Like I'm not gonna go on TikTok those days. And I think just like carving out a schedule that works for you.
What was the hardest thing that someone never really kind of gave you a warning about getting into content creation, or something that you weren't expecting?
So two things. The first thing is brands taking advantage of you. I feel like that I kind of learned the hard way. At first, it's really exciting and flattering when brands that you are familiar with approach you and they're like, oh my God, we'd love to give you like whatever free stuff. I realized kind of early on, I was like, okay, now that I have all this free stuff, like what am I going to do with it? Like if they're not going to give you compensation, they're literally just using you because they already have the product. So like another example, like today I got an email and they're like, oh, we would love to work with you, blah, blah. I sent them my media kit. I sent them like my standard rates, and then they wanted me to make them 3 videos for the price of one of my standard rates. So
they
like
trying to bargain or something?
Yeah. And I was like, no. And I think I've learned a lot more now how to like voice myself and like stand up for myself like in front of these companies, because it can be intimidating. And then as soon as you're like, no, like unfortunately, like I'm not doing anything lower than my standard rate, then they're like, okay, like we'll do like what you want to do, what you originally said. That definitely was like a weird thing that no one can really prepare you for. And the second thing is doing taxes and stuff, because I have to figure out how to do taxes with all the brand deals. You do like W-9s, and I'm like, can someone tell me how to do this? Like, I don't.
It's really... adult world.
Yeah, it like feels like adult world. Yeah, so that kind of was like, I'm figuring it out by myself, because my parents, obviously, they're like, I don't know, you work with so many other like million brands, you have to write it all down.
What were your parents' first initial thought when all this kind of started blowing up and you started getting reached out to by these brands and by these people? They're probably like, what do you mean like you're getting these brand deals?
Yeah, like they didn't really understand. Like my parents are a little bit older. They're both in their 60s. So they don't really get social media. Like my mom has Facebook. My dad is so supportive. Like he thinks everything is amazing. Like I could literally like breathe and he's like, oh my God, you are amazing. I'm so proud of you. So he's like super, super supportive. And my mom, she's also so supportive, but she's a little bit more skeptical. Like she's like, are you sure? Like they're not like ripping you off. Mm-hmm. Like you have to like read into it, like blah, blah, blah. So I don't think they really understand it. But my dad is always like, I show all my friends at work. I show my sisters. Like, yeah, he got the TikTok app just to like watch my videos, which was so cute.
Oh, and he has his own page now too, I'm sure.
Yeah. I literally think I'm the only person he follows.
Well, I mean, that's good for you, because like it gives you more like views when he's like scrolling through his page and everything like that. That's so cute. And I think it's important, especially in anything that you're doing, whether it's brand deals, TikTok, anything, that you have that supportive system. I know a lot of people probably get asked this, but like, how do your friends react? Are they like, oh, Lauren's a star now? Or are they like, oh my God, Lauren, like I'm so proud of you?
I don't know. I think it's been like kind of mixed. At first, I think my friends like really thought it was a joke. They would like not make fun me, but like low-key be like, oh, like TikTok, like blah blah blah, because when you're not that big, people are like, oh, it's easy to make fun of. I didn't feel totally supported by my friends in the beginning. They were just like, oh, like okay, like whatever, and like make little comments, and I was like, damn, like that sucks, but that makes me want to work 10 times harder just to prove all of you wrong. So I feel like that's kind of where it was. And then like now people are like, oh my god, I'm so proud of you, this is so amazing, like you're so cool, like my friends at school know who you are, stuff like that. So I feel like I've always been, I don't really care, no one's gonna stop me, I don't care what anyone has to say, and I don't need anyone's support.
It's that little motivation, it's like you're almost the little engine that could. It's like, oh, like you're gonna say one more bad thing, I'm gonna chugga 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 all the way to the top, and then it's like, yeah, this is where I'm at.
That's definitely like how I felt like all summer. And I hate to say that, because like I love my friends, like they really are amazing, but they also just don't understand it because they're not doing social media, they're not into even like Instagram and that stuff,
which is fine. I think a big thing is that everybody just kind of has to respect everyone else's hustle, and yeah, at the end of the day, trying to figure out, oh, so this is working for Lauren, okay, that's not gonna work for me, but like I'm gonna be there for her because I want to see her shine and grow as much as she can.
No, definitely. I think it like has shown true colors of some people that I was like, oh, like I thought you felt differently, but all right, like okay,
it's a wake-up call.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I've literally had people be like, oh, can't you just get that for me for free, like it's so easy for you, and I'm like, I have to make content to get the stuff that I have. Companies
it's not just hand it to you.
Yeah, and that's what I think a lot of people think, and it's kind of like offensive, but I'm just like, all right, okay,
you know what, you keep hustling, you keep doing it, and your real friends obviously show at the end of the day of who's supporting you and who's making you feel great about your decisions and what you're doing.
Yeah, so definitely.
But like you said before, you've talked to so many different people about brand deals, about what to do with content. What is the best advice someone's given you, and how can you kind of give that to someone else that wants to be like you on TikTok one day?
I think the best advice is just to like be yourself, put it out there, like be yourself. Don't act like a different person in front of the camera. Like I don't think I do. I think everyone that meets me is like, oh my God, you're the same person online that you are in person, which is such a compliment. But I think just like finding your passion and just being yourself, as cliche as that sounds, I think that's like the best advice I could give anyone who wants to go into like content creation.
I love that. That's so empowering. It's like a good sorority speech.
Yeah.
Are you guys all online for the semester, or are you guys half in person, half not in person?
There's like some in-person classes. I don't have any because like as a comm major, I already had hybrids before Corona was even a thing. We're mostly online.
So how did you guys do recruitment?
So that was all online. It was crazy, but it was like really fun because I was vice president. So I didn't really like get a chance to talk to a lot of the PNMs, but it was like stressful, like putting them all into breakout rooms and like matching people up. I wouldn't want to do it again.
Jesus Christ, like I could not imagine doing it. But I give so many people so much credit for doing it the way that they did it.
I mean, it was a lot of work, but like thank God it's over now.
No, for real. Wait, I think I saw you post this on your Instagram. Did you guys have a bachelor themed night?
Yes. Okay, so that was like, we're all obsessed with The Bachelor. We didn't want to spend money on like buying recruitment shirts, the bid day shirts. You wear them once. Uh-huh. So we were like, what can we do different? And then we decided to do Bachelor because we've literally never seen it before. And we got like cameo from Chris Harrison. So that was like, wow, so fun.
But what I like to do talk about on the podcast is something that I call the college series, which basically kind of breaks down my experience, everyone else's experience with college. I love talking about it because who doesn't fucking love college? Everybody wants to be in college forever. So what I want to know from you is, because I haven't really touched on it too much, is about sororities and recruitment, because it is such a different thing that you see in movies, and I'm sure you could agree.
Definitely.
Going into college, I was like, oh my God, I want to be a Delta Nu like Elle Woods. I want to do this. I'm going to be like this. I'm going to date a frat guy like this. And honestly, like your dreams kind of get shut down day one.
100%. I couldn't agree more.
Because I don't know if you felt like this with your sorority, but it's almost like taking on another class in college.
It literally, especially like having a leadership role, it really is.
I never really had a big leadership role. I had like the little team roles because I wanted to say audition, but you don't audition for a sorority role. I was nominated and like I ran for one of those roles. I didn't get it. It's fine. Totally cool. And now looking back, I'm like, I give so much credit to those leadership positions. Now, I don't know if you want to give like the full rundown of what your position is or kind of how you got into doing it and what made you want to do it.
I feel like I always want to do everything. I was like, since like a freshman, I knew I wanted to join a sorority. That's also like why I picked Monmouth. That was like you said, Elle Woods. That was a dream of mine. I was like, I have to be in a sorority, whatever. But then like, I like being in charge. Yes, and last year I was like part of the membership recruitment team. So I only played like a little bit and I had like a little taste of getting like into like leadership in that. And then after recruitment, I was like, oh my God, I want to be president. I want to tell everyone what to do. Not tell people what to do, but I was like, I want things to be my way. And then I was like, okay, I don't want to be president because that is a lot of work. My best friend now, she was the past president. And I was like, after seeing that, I was like, you do so much. I don't want that much responsibility, but I still want like a say in things. So then I was like, vice president is perfect. I have to have it. And then I applied, got it. And it's still a lot of work, but it pays off. I like the way like things are running right now.
I love that. So can you kind of go into a little bit more detail of what your experience being in the sorority pre-COVID and during COVID? Because obviously like things aren't the same. Chapter isn't in person. Recruitment isn't in person. How has it changed and what did you love beforehand that you don't really get now? Or what's going on now that you wish kind of was implemented more so when it was a normal life?
I miss the most mixers. Oh my God. I just miss that so, so much. Like just being with everyone and like chapter in person. Cause I feel like now it's hard to like make sure everyone's listening and paying attention. I just miss being in person from pre-COVID. That was so fun. And all the other activities we did. Like a ton of like super fun fundraisers. Like we have like a Mr. Phi Sig pageant. All that stuff was so fun. And it was like not only my sorority, but like all the Greek Life organizations together.
Oh.
So that stuff I miss the most. And then now we don't really do anything at all. I'm 21, so like we'll go to the bar, do that, but there's nothing to really do now.
Do you think there's anything that you guys are kind of more focusing on now that you are virtual that you didn't really beforehand?
We're focusing more on like being closer because okay. We're not together physically. Like I think my whole chapter we were always close, but like focusing more on everyone's well-being and making sure that everyone's okay even if you're not with them. And definitely our social media has like killed it recently.
Love
like
it.
We've just had a lot more time, so I think that was definitely something that I love now.
So you joined your freshman year, you said?
Yes.
So going into recruitment, that is so beyond scary. I remember like freaking out with my friends and being like, did you get called back for this? Did you get called back for that? So kind of take someone, because I have a lot of listeners who are getting ready to go to college and getting mm-hmm. ready to, you know, experience Greek life and see if it's what they want to do. So kind of give your breakdown of how recruitment goes and the best advice you could give to a girl that's kind of feeling a little nervous and shaky in her boots about it.
I think like being nervous is definitely so real. I kind of like knew the sorority I wanted going in, but I didn't know for sure. I think like the best advice, notice how you feel in each room. I think the room, this sounds like so cliche. Like I feel like I said this all weekend, but I knew when I went into the Phi Sig room, I immediately was like, why do I feel like I've known these people forever? I just feel so comfortable and I never wanted to leave. So I would say like, go to the organization that you're like, I don't want to leave this room. I could talk forever and ever, go with them. And that's where you're meant to be. And to not force yourself to feel anything because your friends want a specific organization, like just do what makes you the happiest.
I think what a lot of girls, and I love that you touched on it, have an issue with is that, oh, like Sarah really wants to go towards Apple Beta Alpha and so does Susie, but I'm kind of want to go to Banana Pear Alpha.
Yeah.
I'm just making up random ass sorority names. I think it's important to kind of find your own voice because you're not going to always have the same conversation with the same girl in any room like your friends will. You could be like, oh, I really like this about it, but I didn't love this about it the way I loved another room or another sorority like that. And I think it's important when you said to kind of just be on your own and use your own voice and kind of rely on your intuition.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but like in my own experience, now I'm a junior, I feel like 9 times out of 10, you don't stay friends with the people you were friends with your freshman year.
Not at all.
Like ever. I've never really seen that happen. Like I had a group and I didn't feel like myself until then. Like I met people who bring out the best version of myself, so like they're not going to be your friends anyways. Like you might as well do what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely. I feel like that is such a wake-up call in college, especially, and I talked about this when I was talking about transferring freshman year. Like you think everything is so picture perfect sometimes, mm-hmm. and then towards the end of it, like second semester, is where you really start seeing people's true colors and really start seeing things for what they are. And then the next year you kind of have an expectation that things are just going to go back to how they're supposed to be, and they don't. And that's fine. but you need to find the people. And I love that I was able to keep the people that did make me feel like myself and that I was valued from my old school. And I was able to bring that to Temple and find the people that did the exact same, but even more so, and have those friends. And I think what a lot of other people feel, and I'm not sure if you can agree with this either, you don't have to be best friends with everyone in your sorority either.
Yes, 100,000,000% yes. Totally agree.
Because let's be realistic. Girls are mean. Girls are catty. Girls like to talk. They like to gossip. And like a group of 100 girls, 99 of them aren't going to love you. Like exactly. It's not a bad thing. It's just how the cookie crumbles. But you can't have that mentality going into a sorority or going into recruitment thinking like every single person needs to like me.
And it's like, if you don't like everyone, why would you expect everyone to like you?
Exactly. So I think that's a good way of looking at the glass half full instead of half empty, because you can be so happy in your sorority and your club, whatever, but that doesn't mean like you're happy 100% of the time, because that's just like the reality of it.
Yeah.
And also a big part of recruitment is style and fashion, because no one really goes, I mean, now with virtual recruitment, you could be wearing leggings and sweatpants on the bottom and like looking good from the waist up, but your fashion sense is honestly like a big part of who you only get however long with a sister. So yeah. Your style also makes an impact on someone else, because that's a great conversation starter. So what do you think is your best advice for anyone looking for outfits or looking for that inspiration for recruitment?
Yeah, so I made a video on TikTok. I was like, recruitment outfit ideas. And I think like look amazing for recruitment, because I know last year when it was in person and we did recruitment, there was like our hidden gems that we found. And it was literally because of their outfits and because wow. They looked amazing. And I guess I would just say, kill it, go to the mall and like buy the best outfits, because if you want to be in like the best sorority, you got to look the best. For the weekend being, I know that sounds a little bit conceited, but like it is the truth.
And honestly, if it's something that's a staple piece like you preach, you might as well spend like that good buck on it instead of just like, oh, I don't know, like I'm only gonna wear it once. Try it out and you'll probably figure out what's the best way you could wear it again and again. That's my thought process. Yeah. At least. So are you close with your big or do you have a little?
Yeah, I have a big and a little. My big is, it's so weird that she's a senior because she's only a month older than me. Like oh my God. She just turned 21 this past November. I turned 21 in December. So, and I feel like we have so much in common. So we've always been like, I don't really say she's my big anymore. Like she's just like my best friend. We got really, really close. And I'm also super close with my little.
So I have a big and a little and a twin and a grand little now. I think a lot of people also, when it comes to sororities, look for that big and look for that little and look for that connection partnership, because some girls are either only children, have brothers, or they don't really like have a good relationship with their siblings. Yeah. And it's a mentorship. Like you rely on this person. Like you just said, your big is your best friend. Like you go to her for everything. How did you find out and figure out how your big was perfect to be your big?
Because I know that there's like even girls in my sorority where they like don't even talk to their like big or like their fam tree. But I just got so lucky. Her name's Nicole. We have so much in common. And I think it's because we're both from New York and everyone here is from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So we just like really hit it off. And I feel like got so lucky and just connected so well. Like I was like, I feel like I've known this girl my whole life.
So your biggest advice for someone that is on the hunt for a big or for a little is to, you know, kind of find your person, right?
Yeah. And I mean, my little conversation was about like how we both are weird and love going to 8:30s because we love like starting our day and like getting it done. And then we just like realized we had so much in common. And I was like, oh my God, she has to be my little.
First of all, I want to talk about that because I had another question in mind, but now my attention's elsewhere. So obviously when you go to college, you have like the most random hours of classes. Mm-hmm. You can have an 8:30, a 12:40, a 5:30. And when you're making your schedule, you essentially try to pick like the best time that works for you. And you just said that you enjoy going to 8:30s. Yeah. So like, tell me what about that is enjoyable to you? Because I can barely wake up to 70 alarms that I set every single fucking day.
Yeah. So I'm still doing 8:30s. Like I take this one class. That's Monday, Wednesday, 8:30. And now I'm a little bit more like over it, but I've always been a morning person and I would dread more going to like a 6 to 9 class. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I would rather just go at 8:30, be done with my day. Cause I'm the type of person where I'm like, if I have work at like 4 o'clock or I have class at 4 o'clock, I'm like, I'm booked. I can't do anything else today. So I feel like if I get my classes over, then I can like do whatever else I have to do. I don't know. It's just like weird that I'm like that.
Okay. So that's a good thing though, because I wish I had more of that mentality. Like I enjoy waking up early. I'm going to rephrase that. I don't enjoy waking up early. However, I appreciate waking up early because I get so much more done and accomplished. And I have like obviously a lot more time in my day to do other things and kind of take a breather. But it's so hard to get yourself on that type of schedule. Did you start that your freshman year?
Yeah, I literally started it. Like, when I came for orientation, like, in the summer and made my schedule, I was, like, 8:30s every single day. I literally had an 8:30 Monday through Thursday, I think, and I had Fridays off.
Okay, I always had Fridays off in college. I was like, yeah, you think I'm gonna come in on a Friday? You are wrong as shit. I am not coming in. But what is your biggest advice, I guess, for someone that's trying to get on that type of schedule and trying to figure out, like, what times and what's going to work best for them? Because your freshman year, first semester, they give it to you. You don't really get to choose that.
We kind of got to choose, but it was kind of like what was available because like all the other grades already chose.
Yeah.
But I would say my advice finding fitting your schedule best is like see what how you did in high school. Like, did you do well with like waking up early and going homeroom doing that? If not, maybe 8:30s aren't for you and just go from there. Just I feel like people usually know if they're like morning or night person. If I'm not up, like if I get up late, I get so mad at myself. Like, I'm like, I did nothing today. Like, I slept in. Like, this is terrible.
So would you set up a lot of alarms too or no?
Yeah, I have like 15. Like, literally, my alarm starts at like 7:45, goes off like 7:45, 7:50, 8 o'clock, 8:15. Like, just keeps going.
Do you think that your schedule now has definitely been like harder for you to wake up because you are virtual?
Yeah, definitely. Like, 100%.
Do you take your 8:30 in bed?
No, I have like a couple times, but I try to like get up, but it's hard because I usually would be getting up at 8 and then like driving to class or walking to class. But now it's like I can literally get up at like 8:25 and log onto my computer and be in class.
Are you guys able to like go to any coffee shops or anything and do class there?
I was just posting about it today. We went, there's like really cute coffee places over here, but I went with my friends today to this one place. I did literally nothing. I paid $8 for coffee. I wrote one sentence and just stared at my friends doing nothing.
You broke a sweat writing that sentence.
I know, literally.
I used to do that all the time, but sometimes when it would just be me, I would get so much more work done in the coffee shop than I would in my own apartment.
No, me too. That's why I go to like this one coffee shop I always go to and I only go alone. I went with my friends today because I was like, I'm gonna have FOMO if you guys all go and I don't go with you. But I don't get really anything done if everyone's home because we all have so much fun together. So I'm like, I don't even want to have my AirPods in. Like, I want to be in conversation.
Aww. Well, my last thing that I want to ask you that you kind of brought up. So you just said FOMO, which is a huge thing about college. For those of you that live under a fucking rock, FOMO is fear of missing out. So in college, that happens quite often. You have to stay in because you don't feel well. You have to stay in because you might be going home the next day. You have to stay in because you have a test. You have this, you have that. And FOMO, as much as you want to do it all in college, you can't. Like, it's just not realistic sometimes. So how do you, and what is your best advice for someone that might feel like they are having FOMO?
Honestly, I really can't give advice because I always succumb to FOMO and I always end up, like, even if I have a test, even if I'm going home, I'm like, you guys are really going out? Like, I have to go. Like, I feel like I never miss anything. So I would be the one who needs advice on how to cope with that.
Do you think that, like, when you watch other people, like your friends that go to other schools, do you ever have FOMO from watching them go out and do things because maybe your school doesn't offer that or because you just had an off night?
No. Like, I feel
like... I love that. Good.
I feel like we were just talking about this, me and my roommates. The life that we live, we feel like no one else lives and we feel like we have so much fun. I can't really look at whatever someone else is doing. Like, I'm like, no, I'm probably having more fun than them. Like, last night we just went to the city for dinner. Like, we do that all the time.
Did you drive or take the train?
Yeah, we just drive. It's like 45 minutes. Oh, we'll like make reservations for 9 o'clock. Just go, like, have fun.
So you are the, I want to say, you just like do things on a whim. I think a lot of people need to take, I guess, advice from that just to like not be afraid and question some things all the time. Like me, I'll do something. I love being spontaneous, but sometimes I need that little check like, oh, well, maybe like you shouldn't, blah, blah, blah. And I just like, I need to just stop doing that, especially because of COVID, because everyone just had to stop for everything. So now once things come down a lot more, I'm going to just do everything.
I feel like you have to like just do everything. I literally don't pay attention to what anyone else is doing. I'm just like, well, whatever I'm doing is the most fun because I'm there. So it's like whatever. Confident. And because I realized, I guess this too, like maybe this could help you. When we do spontaneous things, I have way more fun than when we do these like super planned things.
Got it.
So I feel like that's always more fun. Like last night we were like, we haven't gone to the city in so long. Like, let's just go. And like 5 o'clock, we were like, we made reservations and it was so fun.
I love that for you. That's amazing. But how I love to end all my episodes is with a post-grad doozy. So basically, my little food for thought for anybody that is in, going to, or going through college, just kind of like life advice. So Lauren, if you want to take it away with what you would like to give the listeners of Jabby Jaws, your post-grad doozy advice.
I think the best advice I can give, like always, is just stay true to yourself and don't try to be anyone else. Just find your inner self and run with it. Just be as you as possible, and people are going to love you for you. And if they don't, then that's their problem. But I would say just always stay true to yourself, as cliche as that sounds.
Not cliche at all. I think everybody needs the little self-love in their lives, of course. But thank you so much for taking the time and chatting with me. Before you go, please drop all your handles where everyone can follow you along your journey.
Everything is at Lauren Tyby, LaurenTiby.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on. It was so fun talking to you.
Thank you for having me. I would love to chat again.
Oh, of course. And there you have it, kids. How fucking great is she? Seriously, I cannot wait to actually meet her in person, because I know we will definitely be wreaking havoc together. But seriously, she gave such great advice, such great pointers with content creation and balancing school and friends, to be honest. So I hope you all will take note and run with that as you will and implement it into your lives somehow. But everyone, it is time for us to say goodbye this week. And next week, I have such a good episode in store for you. I literally am shitting my pants thinking about it because I'm so excited. But I do not want to give anything away. So please stay tuned for next week's episode, which is the mystery episode. Until then, make sure you are following Jappy Jaws on Instagram at JappyJaws, as well as my personal Instagram at Lindsay Anya, LindsayAnyaA. That is also my Twitter and my TikTok. Dare you go follow both of those. Guys, you guys know that I'm still trying to pick up that TikTok fame, and I am manifesting it. It is going to happen whether you like it or not. So make sure you go follow me on there. Subscribe, review, rate, like, follow, put that notification bell on Jabby Jaws on all of the listening platforms that you are listening from: Spotify, Apple, Anchor, Google, wherever. That is it. Thank you so much for listening, for tuning in. I love you all more than I could ever possibly explain, and I cannot wait for next week. I will see you all next Thursday.